It is the Octopod Live Dive. We're here. Our friends are here. We are ready to go. We're excited. It's a Friday, and Keldrick Falk is a first-round draft pick. He was projected to be a first-round draft pick, played like a first-round draft pick, and he was taken in the first round by the Tennessee Titans. So how about that? How many new Titans fans are out there today with Keldrick Falk going in the first round in the draft last night? And who's the next first rounder on this team? And is he on this team currently? Oh, those are some of the things we'll talk about today on the Octopod Live Dive. Village Vice, thanks everybody for being here. How we doing? How we feeling today? We're feeling good.
Last night was a blast to watch the first round, the very quick moving first round of the draft. And, almost went to bed after the Patriots traded up, and I'm like, no, just in case Keldrick goes tonight, I want to see it. And I'm so glad that I did.
It's good for him. I know we have some guys on the team probably who are upperclassmen who might have gotten here in 22, I guess. But to me, Keldrick Falk going in the first round and becoming Auburn's first-round draft pick since the 2020 draft sort of signifies this official, because like Keldrick was not committed before Hugh Freeze came in and got the job. He was the first, you know, big flip right before signing day.
It was on signing day. He and Connor Lue flipped on signing
day. And so it's like the last remaining remnant of the staff before the previous one. It didn't go after it. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? This feels like a closed door that was left slightly cracked to an era that we'd all like to just keep pushing further and further back.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm cool with that. You know, especially with, I mean, I've always kind of linked Keldrick and Connor together.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, they both got here like literally the same day with them flipping on signing day, early signing day that year. And we're big parts of the argument for, you know, what the previous staff was doing and how they were going, about it. So yeah. I'm, as far as like the symbolism behind it, sure. You know, I think we can kind of twist and turn and make it say different things. I'm not going to push back on that at all.
Yeah.
But what I am excited is you see Keldrick and how much he loves Auburn. And, you know, he still stayed around the program during his entire draft process. Every time there was media availability, we saw Keldrick walking around. I was on the field before A-Day, and he's walking out with a tray of chicken fingers, eating it, watching the guys warm up, and then he put it down to take pictures with fans for like an hour. Like, this guy loves Auburn. Yeah. He loves Auburn. And couple that with something that Golish has made very clear that he said is important. And it's getting former players back to invest in these young guys. You think Keldrick Falk's going to do that, Brad? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. And he's, it's the second closest NFL team, third closest, either Jacksonville or Nashville. But regardless, like, this is, I think this is a cool thing for Keldrick. And I think you could argue it's a cool thing for Auburn. I think there'll be a lot of Auburn fans that make a trip to Nashville to go see Keldrick, especially. You know, with Auburn and Vanderbilt being permanent opponents right now, I think this was a good pick monetarily for the Titans as well.
Nashville is a huge Auburn city. We talk about it every time Auburn goes to Nashville, either for an SEC tournament or for a football game up there. Let's hear you today. Let's hear you in the comments today. Are you in Nashville? Are you near Nashville? Let's hear from you. Village Vice, big Nashville audience. So, you know, in this world, in this day and age of everybody getting shopped around and wanting changes, go to a different school every year and not put down roots, the reaction to Keldrick Falk and the way Auburn fans will follow him throughout his career is why you put down roots at a school. When you commit and you play and you stay and you build connections that will be influential beyond your time at that school. That's why you do it. And not everybody does it. In fact, fewer and fewer are doing it. But Keldrick is one of the reasons, like, you're going to see why you do it. I think.
No, we saw that a ton last night. Spent first 2 years of college at blank.
Yeah.
Season or two seasons at blank. And it's kind of funny just because you see like all of the different highlight reels that they run after guys are drafted. Heck, when Keldrick got drafted, they showed a clip of him a few years ago when he's sacking Fernando Mendoza. Fernando Mendoza was at Cal, they made a big stink about that, which was super, super fun.
Yeah.
Part of the broadcast. But I mean, the guy that, gosh, I forgot where he went, but the safety from Oregon that was from Purdue, they spent more time talking about his Purdue tape than his Oregon tape, which is a little interesting. And you know, he even actually talked about that when he was on the state. It's part of college football, and I'm not one of those folks that's like is going to go out and say that it's bad.
Yeah.
But at the individual level,
yeah,
Eldrick will always have a place here.
Yep.
No matter what, he will always have a place at Auburn. And there is some of this where like wherever you end up is where you get to claim. But like Connor's going to be the same way. And then even like Eron, who has a chance to get drafted tonight.
Yeah.
He finished here. So that's kind of what counts. But there is something special about guys who spend their entire career in one place.
It is different than like a Keandre Lambert Smith who like, Auburn still claims, and fans are still very excited to watch him in the NFL.
And he claims it, right? Like he claims Auburn. He doesn't claim Penn State.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know what? Maybe the upside of that is enough. Maybe like it's worth it for guys to just claim the last school. But I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe fans can tell us whether they agree or disagree. But isn't it a little like, those roots are a little deeper? If you didn't come from somewhere else, if you picked a school and you stayed there when nobody else is doing that in college athletics, or does that matter? Are we making too much of that? Like, just give me a guy in his last year here and we'll claim him forever, and that's enough. Like Reverend Barn Booster.
Hold on.
Okay, yeah, we got to get here. I knew that was going to get your attention. Look out. Zach may leave us and go to Pike County.
Zach, I'm a daily listener to Village Vice. I think I've heard you say you love Skittles flavored C4, but it's discontinued. I saw 10 plus of them at my local Dollar General 2 days ago in Pike County, Alabama. Take a picture and DM them to me. Because they look similar. Live Oak Tunes. They look similar. How far is Pike County?
And check the expiration date. Because
I'm not concerned about that. There are so many chemicals in there. I'm not concerned about that.
Okay. So you would
I don't know how far is Pike County for me.
It's not that far.
It's just an hour 30 minutes over. Into this. I would not do that.
You wouldn't go an hour 30?
No. 45 minutes? I'm thinking about it. I don't have a lot to do today.
Can somebody go to that Dollar General and buy them all up and then meet Zach halfway?
Let me know what you want. I'll make it happen.
Somebody will do that. Well, can we please organize that in the chat right now? Somebody go to that Pike County Dollar General. That store, by the way, is going to get overrun with people and have no idea why.
Yeah.
It's going to be like looking for the golden ticket.
Hey, I've been talking with Agape Energy after our hit yesterday. So
yeah?
We'll see. We may not be talking about C4 too much longer. We'll see.
That's awesome. Okay, $5 super chat from Hunter5370. If the selection show for college baseball was this Sunday, do you think Auburn baseball hosts a regional and a super? Yeah, regional, 100%.
So regional is top 16?
Yeah.
Super is top 8.
Yep.
So I think you look at all the polls, Auburn is 6 on pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
And when you look at RPI, Auburn is 6. So yes, I think
And the strength of schedule is ranked number 1. The non-conference strength of schedule ranked number 1. Good non-conference record. The teams you played, Cincinnati's having a good year. Nebraska's having a great year. In-state
Cincinnati, Nebraska, and FSU are really helping us out.
Absolutely. And the win over Georgia Tech helps. Like splitting there, losing at their place doesn't really hurt you that much. Beating a mature place does help. And so, yeah, I do. I think they would be a top 8 national seed.
And even like the sweep your only series losses are to Texas, which they're beating everyone. And then like Bama isn't as like that's not as bad as we thought. Now, obviously, Auburn should never have gotten swept in that scenario. I'm not defending that at all. And right. I was pretty hot, you know, the week after that. But them being better than we thought doesn't hurt us as much, but still not ideal.
Yeah. Alabama beat Tennessee last night to. They're not 9-9. I guess they're 10-9 after that last night. So they had kind of gone in the opposite direction, which I think is interesting after that series. So it's like they won their Super Bowl. They're done. They fell off a cliff afterward. But
okay.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Pound Town will sell C4 Skittles.
No, we won't. I'm not giving anybody an opportunity to have that. It's like contraband at this point.
Seriously, who's going to do it? We don't have a volunteer yet. We need somebody in Pike County to get by the Dollar General and
just
do it.
Just buy them and hold them. I'll get up there at some point. All right, so let's go back to the exercise that's the title. You know, does Auburn have the next first rounder on the roster? And I thought about this, and the players that we think are going to lead Auburn because they're the best players on the team, I don't think they project well to the NFL, not because they can't play, just because of how NFL teams view certain traits and measurables.
Yeah.
So this is, pull that back up, Brad.
Okay. Daniel Moultrie.
Daniel's doing what most people would do, and it's not a crazy thing, but listing the best players according to their age. Cole Best, Xavier Atkins, Chaz Nimrod for next year, underclassmen Jared Smith, Deshaun Spencer, Elijah Melendez, Omar Mabson. That's the right place to start for sure. But they don't draft the best college players. They want to draft the best players that project to the NFL. And also, like, position matters. So, like, Cole Best, if he's the best center, even if he's the best center in the country, does that mean he's a first-round pick? Most years, probably not. Like, there wasn't a center drafted last night. Correct me if I'm wrong. I do not believe there was a center. There were 7 offensive tackles drafted, and then I think there was 1 guard, the guy from Georgia Tech. But you don't see interior offensive linemen drafted in the first round. You just don't. And then Xavier Atkins, one of, if not the best linebacker in college football last year, but his height's going to hold him back. Like, all those linebackers, those off-ball linebackers that were drafted last night, they're a lot taller.
There are only 2. Yeah. There are only 2 linebackers. That's crazy. 2 linebackers, 2 guards, no centers.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was quarterback, tackle, edge.
It was tackle and edge. Only 2 quarterbacks last night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fernando at 1 and then Ty Simpson at 13.
Yeah.
Okay. So, probably run a quarterbacks tonight, like Cade Klubnik and, you know. Yeah. Garrett Nussmeier, those kind of guys. But yeah,
2 running backs taken in the first round.
Yeah, 2 running backs, both from Notre Dame, which is kind of wild. I think when you think about the best players that are upperclassmen that could be drafted next year, like, I don't think Byram translates to the league. You know, we talked about the throwing motion. I don't care what your throwing motion is in college. The NFL does care about your throwing motion, as they should. They absolutely should. And then, like, some of the other upperclassmen, like, safety's another one. Like, you don't see a lot of those guys get drafted early, but, you know, like, a Caleb Harris or a Sylvester Smith, like, one of those upper, like, the even if they're...
2 of those last night.
They'll be draftable, right? Like, Caleb Downs was the best player in the draft, in my opinion. Most talented player, but he slid. Great Dallas picking him was the best pick of the first round, in my opinion, but... Outside of Caleb Lomu at 28, whoever traded up to get him, I mean, props.
Yeah.
But I do think, so then you look at other positions, like, okay, offensive tackle, that's a position. Could Joe Simmons have an incredible season, especially if he stays at left tackle?
Yeah.
Could Joe Simmons be a top 7 tackle? 7 tackles got drafted last night. One of them being Caleb Lomu, who I think is the best player in the NFL already.
Yeah.
Joking. I'm a Pats fan for those who don't know.
Yes.
But could Joe Simmons, like, he's got traits, he's got the size, you know, could he put SEC tape together? I don't know. But I think it's almost more likely for him to put stuff together than some of these other guys that have been mentioned in the chat already. Yeah. Is that crazy? Does that make sense? Does that thought process make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. And I'll go early on this one. How about a Wilson Zierer way down the road?
I think so. I think he's on pace. Yeah. I think he's on pace for sure.
Reverend Barn Booster, a $10 super chat. As the Reverend, I hereby claim by the Auburn Creed the Bo spin around touchdown at LSU in 21 and the winning touchdown to Seth Williams against Oregon. Auburn claims Bo as a first rounder. And that's part of the discussion, right? Because when Bo comes back for stuff, and he does come back, we cheer. We embrace. We would love to do that completely.
But we lost them.
But we can't. Lost them. Yeah, we can't.
Our head coach, he didn't want to play for our head coach at the time. We lost them. And I don't blame Bo Nix, by the way.
Right. By the way,
fan base was also awful to Bo Nix at the time.
That's true. By the way, you should absolutely check out Chandler Wooten's podcast, Landing on the Plains. So not only did he go out and give a dynamite recap of A-Day from a former player's perspective, but his latest episode that's available right now, you should watch it after this show today or listen today, is about what went wrong previously.
Wow.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I need to check that out.
It's terrific. And Chandler is really good at this. Like, he's a natural at this already.
Man, once he gets another, like, 20 shows under his belt, he's going to be awesome.
Goodness.
It's already good. Like, I can't wait to see what it turns into. So
yeah. So if you haven't checked that out, do so. It's on this same channel. It's on the Barn Auburn channel. So just search through the video.
YouTube or audio. However you're listening or watching this, it's there.
So Bo was an Auburn guy before he ever played a down at Auburn.
But he left. Yeah. We couldn't keep him here.
Right.
Couldn't keep him here. It's how you finish.
It is. It's always like the video forever when he goes up on that stage is, you know, the Denver Broncos select Bo Nix, quarterback, Oregon.
Yeah.
It's what it is. So.
Yep.
Okay. Jared Smith absolutely could be a first rounder. We talked about that a little bit.
He could. Yep.
What are you laughing at? Is it the calzone thing?
Diver 15. Mad Brad fact. Calzone is Italian for burrito. So burrito is classified as a calzone.
No, it's
or
not.
Or vice versa.
I don't know. No, it's not. Burrito means little donkey.
That's not true.
It's a
spell. Hunter says, it's way too early for Heisman talk. If you only have to pick one football player to win the Heisman, who and why?
I love this question for so many reasons. First of all, it's out of nowhere. I love Hunter for that. Second of all, it's too early for Heisman talk. So here's a Heisman question. And then my third favorite thing about it is, if you only pick one, they only pick one.
They only pick one Heisman winner a year. No, Hunter, I think it's a great question. I think it's a great question.
I do too for those three reasons.
I'm assuming it's in general. We don't have to pick an Auburn because we would all say Byram for Auburn if we had to pick an Auburn player. I'll go with Trinidad. I don't want to do that. I almost think Art has a better chance to do that. I'll go Jeremiah Smith.
Okay.
Jeremiah Smith, best player in college football. Can a receiver win it? That's always a big question.
Yep. And after Devontae Smith did, that opened the door for Jeremiah Smith to do it. So, yeah. I would say that. Now, if you are going to go Auburn player, it's got to be Byram. And if not Byram, who could it be? Jeremiah Cobb.
CT4H.
That's awesome.
Becca knows the bar and lore.
That's right. Thank you, Becca.
Who did you say for Heisman?
For Auburn, if not Byron Brown, then Jeremiah Cobb. Because if they're going to run the ball away.
Who's your answer to Hunter's question?
Oh, for just anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I don't know. You've taken Jeremiah Smith. That's the best answer.
Okay. Graham, you work here. You don't need to pay us. You work here.
He comes from the Daryl Dapperidge school of interaction during the live dive.
Love you, buddy. Brad, I saw your name in the credits for the Eagle Flight documentary. Incredible documentary. Tell me about this. What is this?
So War Eagle Plus has a documentary that is about the origin of the Eagle Flight. They've been doing it for 26 years now, and it goes back and examines how, like, the first Eagle Flight in 2000 was just from the crossbar. It was from the crossbar, the uprights to midfield before the Wyoming game, and wasn't a huge... It was nowhere close to what it is now. And so you go back and you see old footage and hear, you know, old broadcast stuff from 2000 and 2001, kind of the first few years of the Eagle Flight. I think they did a really good job with it. Awfully talented storytelling team behind the scenes here, led by Chris Sabo, not the former baseball player, Chris Sabo, but he's one of the big creative forces behind it. It's really cool.
Great.
Yeah.
David versus Golish. I've heard Auburn's current roster be described as second tier. Would Indiana's last roster be considered the same? Can I hear a Boog and anti-Boog take? Well, I know who's doing which on that, so you go ahead and start.
You want me to go ahead and take the Boog angle on this? Yeah, I mean... I don't know. Indiana's roster, there wasn't a first-round draft pick from the offensive or defensive line on Indiana's roster last year. They had the number one overall pick at quarterback, who nobody thought this time last year, nobody doing draft analysis last year at this time would have told you Fernando Mendoza is going to be the number one pick next year. Nobody did that. I don't know how many people thought that Omar Cooper was going to be a first-round pick at wide receiver. So you get a bunch of dudes who get out there and grind, who have relentless discipline on the offensive line. You get a playmaking quarterback, and you get a playmaking wide receiver and a supporting cast around him, and you can do special, special things. Now, this is not an anti-Boog take, but it's like a Boog asterisk. You can't just look at Indiana and then think you can replicate that template anywhere and everywhere. There's a reason it was done at Indiana. Could that have worked anywhere that Cignetti went? Probably. But, like, there's a not everybody does that. And you can't just say apply that template everywhere and it's going to work. It's uncommon, ruthless attention to strict discipline.
Yeah, and then as far as the anti-Boog take, like, yeah, using Indiana's example, I agree, Brad, you can't do it. It's very clear they're the exception. And I think you can feel good about a lot of things, but like Brad said, the offensive line, the defensive line, like, I do think there's some questions about both. Now, I do feel better about the defensive line.
Yeah,
and the offensive line definitely had moments at A-Day and had moments throughout the spring, which is good. But also, like, these are receivers that aren't used to being, you know, beat up by SEC defensive backs week in and week out. It's great that they got up and, you know, were able to do it against Florida, which was one I'm sure they circled all offseason last season, which is great that they got up for the big game and were able to execute, which is something that we haven't been able to do in several years. But there are plenty of questions. There are plenty of questions because these guys haven't, most of these guys haven't gone through the brutal schedule of any P4 conference. And one of the key guys who has gone through it has been hurt a ton when you look at Stanton Ramil. So, yeah, I think there's plenty of questions about this roster.
Yeah.
Is that anti-Boog enough?
Yeah, it is. And I love, though, the question that asked for a Boog and an anti-Boog sentiment there, because I think you can choose. You can choose. And I did a radio interview yesterday, and I answered a question about positions coming out of A-Day. And I answered it kind of this way. The group that I feel best about coming out of spring is the defensive line, like compared to where I was going in, is the defensive line. And the group that I think maybe has the most work to do is the offensive line. So now here's your choice. You can choose to go, man, that offensive line needs help. and I'm worried about it. Or you can say, but they get to go up against this defensive line, and I now think that's one of the strengths of the team. And going against that defensive line is going to prepare them and help them improve before the start of the season. All right, I want to address one of these. There we go. Brad, give us an animal fact about eagles. I have them. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that eagles' eyes are almost as large as human eyes and that they have what is called a fovea, which is a dual center of focus, which lets them see forward and to the side simultaneously?
Hmm.
Don't have to cut their eyes to look side to side. Because of the fovea, F-O-V-E-A, or fovea, or fovea. I don't know how you say it. Depends
Diego
on what
fovea.
Yeah, there you go. They
keep
them
away from Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Forward and to the side at the same time. So there's your eagle fact.
That's a fun fact.
Yeah, I thought so.
All right.
Where was the question about this? There it is. Mama Dawn. Oh, Mama Dawn in a wedding gown in the so
yeah,
is that
looks like she got married recently. Good for
her. Is that Dawn or is that Dawn's son or daughter that's in the
dress?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Do y'all think
congratulations regardless?
Either way, yeah, weddings are fun no matter what. Do you think any wide receiver on Auburn's roster will be a replacement for Cam Coleman's talent?
No.
No. But that answers the question. Probably not as talented as Cam.
No probably about it.
But can you replace the production?
Yes.
In an aggregate of guys? Sure. Yeah, for
sure. You might could replace the production.
From one?
What did he end last year at? 800-ish?
Yeah.
He had like 800-ish twice, right?
Let's find out. Let's go double check. But yeah, you're right. 708.
Yeah, and then like how many passing yards did we have total last year? Like low threes, right?
Yeah. Team. Wow, he had 1,300 yards in 2 years.
Yeah.
708. So 700.
I do think we will have more yards thrown through the air this year than previous years.
Yeah.
Some of that's quarterback. Some of it's receiver. A lot of it's scheme. But that's what matters. The production is what matters.
So you think we have more passing yards? I think we have way more rushing yards. You think passing too?
Yeah.
Okay. 2,300. Yeah, 2,365. Yeah, 200 yards a game gets you there. Yeah, I do too.
Wait, we only had 2,300 passing yards? Or is that how many passing yards Jackson had?
No, that's 2,300 total. Jackson had 1,300. Daniels had 800. That's Deuce so Knight had 260.
That's you had under, so bad.
Under 200 passing yards a game.
That's so bad.
For an offense that didn't want to commit to running the ball either. Like, it's one thing if you're going to rush for 300 yards a game.
He was really just like, let's do it again. Let's do it again. And okay. To his credit, like, we loved first and 15 last year. We're like, you're like, we loved it. And then in that case, like, you almost have to throw out of it.
Gosh. Boy, do you remember last year gassing up special teams and how it was going to keep us out of first and 10 from the 10 yard line and mercy.
Look at me. Brad. Oh, I'm Brad. I'm a zoologist.
Why are you hating? Why are we hating?
Yeah.
Don't hate. You hate. Wrong.
Man, you got an out for Hunter today.
But when you learn about when you want to learn about animals, who are you coming to? You know? Only one answer. So here's a fun what if. If Hugh Freeze had gone to Ashton Daniels, who just this week was named the starting quarterback at Florida State.
Uh-huh.
If he goes to Ashton Daniels two games sooner, if Daniels is the starter against Missouri and Kentucky, what happens?
I mean, he's probably still here.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Hugh Freeze still the head coach here? If he had just gone,
there's a chance if you know, you have more time with his offense, you play better against Vandy and Alabama too. Like, I mean, it's truly amazing that he had three options and he was defiant with the third best option. Like, it's truly remarkable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh man,
Rev, look,
Reverend Barn Booster. $20 super chat. Falk going first round shows Auburn can produce top draft picks. He got drafted off Auburn's foundation, coaching, and God-given talent. AG's job is to turn that into a yearly tradition. Byram will be the SEC's leading passer. Book it. A book it from Reverend Barn Booster. A Reverend Barn Booster book it?
Boy. An RBBBI.
Yeah. That's a boogin' book it right there. That's a boogin' Reverend Barn Booster book it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a take. And man, I hope it's true. Goodness gracious, I hope it's true.
Wouldn't that be something? If he led the SEC in passing, I tell you what, I don't think it's a stretch to say the NFL might take a look at him in the first round. If he leads the SEC in passing.
Maybe. We, man, that'd be incredible. You know, my big thing is like, can he be top five or top six in like total yards produced? So not all passing, but obviously rushing as well. That's kind of my thing, which is what we said last year about Jackson. It's like, can you just be a top half quarterback in the SEC? Can you be top eight? And we were like, oh, there's no way he's not top eight. There's no way. And now it's like, I kind of feel like we're saying the same thing.
So the top five passers in the league last year were at 243 yards a game or above. Joey Aguilar, Diego Pavia, Trinidad Chambliss, Marcel Reed, Arch Manning. And three of those guys are back this year. The leading passer was Aguilar at Tennessee, 274 a game. If Byram Brown gets anywhere close to 274 yards passing per game, holy cow.
What offense? What kind of offense is Aguilar? What kind of offense was he in last year?
That's a great question, Zach. That offense at Tennessee.
Is it the same offense?
The same offense.
Huh. How about that? That's interesting.
Sure is.
Do we think Joey Aguilar is a spectacular quarterback?
I wouldn't say. I wouldn't say
he's fine.
Spectacular.
He's fine.
He flourished in a system that was cut out to show off his skill set. So you're telling me the narrative in the offseason should be that it was the same offensive scheme that Auburn is going to run that produced the leading passer in the league last year?
Ashton did start against Kentucky last year.
Oh, is that when they made the...
That was after Arkansas, wasn't it? We switched at Arkansas?
I don't have to go back and look.
I have, like, erased that game from my memory.
Boy, no kidding. Me too. So maybe it would be no different. And I will say.
Yeah, he had 108 passing yards in that game.
Oh, mercy. Oh, mercy. Yeah, and then C. Foster with a fair question dashed him, win a game as a starter. Same result would have happened. Hugh gone.
Right.
Play calls.
Right. Now, if Hugh could have given up play calling duties and let his offensive coordinator be an offensive coordinator. Right, that needs to be a part of the conversation. And so I kind of associate that with Ashton, and that's not entirely fair. So I'm glad that y'all brought that up.
Yep, that's a good point. I guess the tweak to the question would be, what if Auburn had moved on from Hugh Freeze and Derek Nix had called the plays with Ashton Daniels two games earlier? Would there have been any difference? Barner Becca, $2 super chat. Thank you, Becca. Where is the Barn Baseball Show? That's a good question. I assume we're recording at some point. I don't know. We haven't yet.
Lindsay!
Yeah, Lindsay. Where are you, Lindsay? You know what? Lindsey's been so busy with his Braves show because they just been kicking tail and taking names.
He's the best too, man. When it comes to Braves podcasting, he is the best by a long shot.
This stretch Auburn is about to go into is nuts. No, put that back up. If Byron Brown's the leading passer, I will drive 2 hours to Pike County and get those Skittles and bring them to you. Reverend Barn Booster, man. Was the Rev at the tailgate?
If I had proof that they were there, I might do it. If I had proof and I asked for pictures.
Yeah.
I'm pretty available on Instagram. Just find me on Instagram. Send me a picture.
Or Twitter.
Who's up next? Keyron or Connor, since Kelger got drafted last night. I think one of them will get taken tonight. Some of this is like position of need and position scarcity. There's a lot of edges that are kind of that second tier in this draft. You saw a few of them go. Well, I think you saw a few of the top ones go a little bit later than we thought, because I think a lot of these guys are like, okay, we can get an edge in the second or third round. So Keyron needs another edge run to happen early tonight, which is totally possible. Every team, you can't have enough pass rushers.
Yep.
So he needs a run to happen early. And then you just need a team that needs a center. I would love for Connolly to go to the Patriots. And they just have
one.
Possibly. It'd be an upgrade. He wasn't awful, but it'd be an upgrade.
Okay.
Especially now with three tackles, if you want to put one of those tackles at guard, like just get him on the field and have Connor, like, man, the future of that O-line in the next 5, 6, 7 years will be so fun.
Who's going to make the pick? Is the head coach going to be there for the pick?
Vrabel will be there tonight.
Oh,
he loved the Lomu pick. I saw him.
He's skipping out on Saturday.
I saw a tweet this morning. It's like, man, Mike Vrabel loved the Caleb Lomu pick so much, he actually went home to his wife and kids.
Wow. Holy cow.
You seen all the old like clips that have come up though from her? It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Certifiable.
There's been some pretty wild stuff.
Yeah. Like there's some stuff that's come out from her that had I been married to her, we would have had a discussion way before now.
Her getting married around the same time pictures originally surfaced of her and Vrabel hanging out publicly, wild in its own right. It's like, you're a head football coach in the NFL. This is when he was with the Titans at the time. It's like, keep doing that. But then like it's the same time she got married, and then their first son together, his name is Mike. Michael.
And she posts on social media.
That baby was born. Yeah. She's tweeting out. I'm looking at my baby and I'm wondering if all the great players and coaches in football history named Michael. And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That is insane.
Oh, Daniel with the comment of the show. The situation's been more entertaining than the Coldplay concert duo. Thank you, Becca.
Coldplay. Did you see she like went on like a podcast tour or whatever to talk about all that?
No, I haven't seen that. I haven't. I've hesitated to fully dive into everything there. But no, it's no. Again, she said stuff in clips that are surfacing now that, like, if you're married to her, you go, what are we? Let's maybe cool it with some of those comments that are going out in public. But what do I know about it? All right,
Live O'Toon says that he has messaged me on Facebook and I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Is it one of your many Facebook impersonators? Is it people who try to impersonate you on Facebook that maybe you messaged instead?
I don't think that's happening.
Or one of your burners?
I don't think that's happening.
Do you have any burners? Do you
I
have
found
any social
it.
Media burners? Okay.
No way.
Is Fork it, is it
calls me every Friday while we're on here. Why is Fork? Fork always calls me.
So Ford's not watching the show.
No, he listens, I think.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Wow. What's the expiration date on that bad boy?
Are you there right now? Are you there right now? Is he in the store? If you're there right now, buy them and message me on Facebook again how I can pay you for them.
I want to see the expiration date because somebody gave me a bag of Starburst.
This stuff doesn't go bad, Brad. You're really focusing on the wrong thing here.
Everything goes bad eventually.
I don't think that's true.
Yes, everything goes bad eventually.
Live Oak Tunes, if you were there right now, message me back.
What if... Or, what?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
What if Matt had a whole pallet of Skittles C4 and he offered to give them to you?
Oh, this would be over. We'd be friends.
Okay. All right. So that's the line. That's great. I didn't think I'm so I don't care whether it's good or not, whether it's spoiled or gone bad or whatever. I just want to know.
Do you think he drove back for this?
Yeah. Of course. This audience, look, ain't nobody beating this audience. Well, you could have a party with the Skittles, C4, and some Twinkies. You just go nuts on a Friday. There's so much happening right now. Offline. This is real time. I mean, this is.
I wish I could read you the text that Ford just sent me.
This is like national.
We need to
treasure.
End the show so I can read this text that Ford just sent me.
Really? All right, first let's do this. Your boy George with a $2 super chat. Let's acknowledge how good Brad's facial hair is.
Everything about Brad Law call is it perfect good. And intentional.
Okay? I call it here, but not good. Thank you. Thank you, George.
I'll be at the baseball game tonight. If anybody sees me, please come say hello. Would love to meet you.
Same.
I'll try to come find you at some point before the game.
Yeah.
First time my wife and I are going to a sporting event, just us, in a long time. We're very excited.
That's good.
That'll be excited.
Fun date night. Babysitters squared away and just the two of you.
It'll be great.
Nice.
It'll be great. All right.
All right.
Love y'all.
Same. Guys, thank you very much for being here. This is so much fun. Every Friday.
Okay, I think I did it for today's show.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's anything else out there.
All right.